In other words, every one of us have to die at least one time. But the Bible tells us also that there is a second death. And you don't have to die that death. That is up to you. And we're going to talk about that this morning. What is the second death? If you would turn your Bibles with me over to the book of Revelation. We're going to start in the book of Revelation this morning. And at the end of the lesson, we're going to end in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20 and beginning in verse 11. This is after the 1,000 years. And during this 1,000 years, Satan has been, he's been chained. He's released for a short time, the Bible tells us, going from verse 7 through verse 10 to deceive the nations. And then he is cast into the lake of fire. Verse 11 now. Then John says, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Remember, verse 10, that's where the devil had already been cast, the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Being cast into the lake of fire is the second death. Notice, we've already mentioned verse 7, verse 10. This is where Satan will be for eternity. These individuals who are cast into the lake of fire, who experience the second death, they will be with Satan for eternity. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 41, speaking of hell, that is, it is the place of eternal punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. Also, let's look at chapter 21 and verse 8. I want you to notice that this is the place where the sinful, those who did not repent of their sinful deeds while living upon the earth, this is the place they are also. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part is in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, I suppose all of us here work very hard to stay away from these individuals, murderers and immoral people. Those who are raping, those who are killing, those who are doing the worst things that can be done here upon the earth. And we work very hard to stay away from these evil people. We lock our doors at night. We may set an alarm at night. We don't go to certain places at night. We pay taxes so that there are policemen to protect us and to punish these evildoers. Those who kill and rape and destroy. And you know what? We should work hard, even harder, to stay away from them for eternity. To stay out of the place that they are going to be with the devil and his angels. In chapter 20 and verse 10, I want us to notice that the lake of fire, this second death, is for eternity, and that there's going to be torment there. Chapter 20, verse 10, the end of that verse. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so being cast into this lake of fire and brimstone, experiencing this second death, lasts for eternity. And you think about eternity, that it's going to be forever, that there's not going to be any end. And that's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? You know, we may live here upon the earth 70, 80, 90, 100 years. And we think that's a long time. But when we're in eternity and we look back, what's that going to seem like? James says it's just a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It's a passing thought. I suppose millions, billions, trillions, quadrillion years from now, in eternity where years are not counted, that it's hardly going to be remembered, especially for those of us in heaven who have such great joy and happiness of eternity. Well, you don't have to experience this second death. Turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 3. You see, it's up to each person here whether or not you want to die a second time, or if dying one time is sufficient for you. To die one time, to leave this body upon earth, to go to the judgment, that's all that you have to die. Whether or not you want to die again is totally up to you. Verse 5, Jesus here speaking to the church in Sardis. He who overcomes, overcomes sin and evil to repent in their lives. That is, in other words, those who obey Jesus Christ. He who overcomes will be thus clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. In other words, his name will be written in that book. He will not experience the second death. He will not be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone because he has overcome, because he has obeyed Jesus Christ. And look in chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Here Jesus said at the end of verse 10, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Now verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, in other words, repents and obeys Jesus Christ, will not be hurt by the second death. Indeed, this time is coming for the second death. Jesus says most people are going to go the way, the broad way that leads to destruction. Many are going to be cast into this lake of fire and brimstone. They are going to be hurt by it. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it is painful, but you don't have to experience that. You can be saved by Jesus Christ. Hell is a place of, I want to talk about a few things. What's hell like? 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter uses a word for hell that is used only one time in the Bible, and this is Tartarus. And he tells us something about this place. Tartarus is a place of punishment. Some think that it's only for angels, those angels that sinned, but in either case, it demonstrates that hell is a place of punishment. Chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, reserved for judgment. Now look at verses 5 and 6. He's got a couple of analogies here that are showing to us, that are teaching us about this place of torment. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example. Get that. Having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. What is the example? That there is punishment, that there is torment, and there with fire and brimstone. And now that today is symbolic of this place of eternal torment, the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is a place of torment. It is a place of pain and suffering. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and here Jesus is talking about judgment. And he's talking about the reward of those who are his disciples and the punishment, the everlasting, the eternal punishment of those who are not his disciples. And look at verse 30. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, hear the parable of the talents. And this one who had the one talent, he hid it in the ground. He was wicked and evil, Jesus says. He says about this one, he says, throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so hell is outer darkness, the Bible says. In other words, this is a place of torment. That this darkness is such darkness that drives a sane man insane. I've not seen the reality show Solitary on the Fox Channel, but it's a contest where the contestants experience the agony of solitary confinement. And I saw the commercials the other day. And you see this fellow who didn't know he was going to be in solitary confinement, and he finds himself to be there, and he's just going crazy being there. He is tormented. Solitary confinement is used to punish prisoners, people in prison who don't obey the rules of prison. And it's a technique used to break down prisoners of war, such as the POWs in Vietnam. It is a place of torment, hell. It is said to be a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And gnashing of teeth is such great agony that someone just grinds their teeth. Such agony in this place. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 8 and 9, remember, as Paul is speaking of this, talking about Jesus coming in flaming fire with his angels, bringing retribution upon those who do not know God or obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these individuals suffer eternal destruction away from the presence of God. And I believe Paul is really revealing what is here. That this is punishment, this is eternal destruction, and God is not there. Where God is not, then there is darkness. This eternal darkness away from the presence of God. And what good is there? Absolutely none. That is the place awaiting these individuals. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says of this that this is eternal fire. Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Eternal fire, this is a place of pain and of agony, extreme pain and suffering. A man we knew in Thomasville, Georgia, Albert Hirsch, was an electrician, and he was working at a school one day, and the electrical box blew up and fire came out of the box. He was burned severely. He spent months in a burn center in extreme pain and anguish. Jesus is telling us about this place. Extreme pain and anguish, such that would be experienced by a very severe burn over your entire body. And this lasts for eternity. Not like with Albert. He spent months in the hospital, finally could get out of the hospital, yet lived in pain from that day, but at least it was pretty much over with. This is never over with. The lake of fire and brimstone. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus uses a couple of parables. The first one we want to look at, verse 41. He is explaining the parable of the tares. And he says in verse 41, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." So this is the place of extreme pain, extreme anguish that goes on for eternity. Then there is the parable of the dragnet. Verse 47, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The worst possible pain and suffering and anguish from the torment that is possible. Hell is also a place of vengeance. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. God is great, God is awesome. And you think about the Old Testament stories about when he came to speak to the children of Israel, and they were so afraid. Just as God approached them with, with the cloud and with the thundering and with the voice from heaven, they wanted Moses to then go and talk to God and come back and tell them what he said. God, in all of his greatness, is also a vengeful God. Now you think about that. Some have turned their back on God. They refuse to believe the Bible because of this one point. But you think about it for just a moment. God, who sent his only Son to die for our sins because he loved us so much. Our God who watched his Son upon the cross as he bore our sins and all the pain and all the suffering for those who trample him underfoot, Hebrews chapter 6, by turning their back upon him. Yes, God is vengeful. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 30. Speaking of those who sin willfully. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, we have a loving God. While we were yet sinners, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. But for those who reject his Son, his saving grace, then God also is a vengeful God. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Well, look at chapter 12 for just a second. God is also a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom," I'm going to talk about this in the next verse. Well, we as Christians, we're not going to experience the vengeance of God, the consuming fire of God, of eternal punishment. "We receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude," because we understand the vengeance of God. We understand that he is a consuming fire. We understand that he has saved us from all of those things. So let us show gratitude by which we may offer up an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We understand from which we have been saved and all the blessings of heaven. Now go over with me to verse 22. Since we are in this passage, we have to note that the only way to avoid God's wrath, his vengeance, the consuming fire of God, is to be a member of his church. That is the only possible way to avoid the second death. Verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven," name written in the book, name written in heaven, enrolled in heaven, "and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood." Jesus Christ, having sprinkled us with his blood, we do not experience the second death, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The only way to avoid the lake of fire and brimstone is to be a faithful member of God's church. Hell is a place of torment, pain, and suffering, of God's vengeance, where the wicked are punished. The only way to stay out of that place is to be a member, faithful member of the Lord's church. No one in torment will want to be there, or will want anyone else to be there. You know, there's a lie that circulates around that it could go something like this. I knew a boy when I was growing up in high school, and he said, "You know, I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. The way I look at it, when I get to hell, I'm going to be shaking hands with so many of my friends, I'm not going to care." Well, I tell you what, he is going to care. The Bible tells us he's going to care, and everyone there is going to care. Sometimes someone will say, "You know, well, my mother and father believe this, and I just can't believe that they would be going to hell, and so I'm just going to keep doing the same thing they taught me to do." Well, the Bible tells us this. If mother and father had done wrong, mother and father in torment, they want one thing for you as their child, is not to be where they are. That's what the Bible tells us. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22. Jesus uses the word Gehenna when speaking of hell. Jesus uses it many times, and James uses it one time. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, this word Gehenna, translated hell, it appears three times. And this tells us again something about this place Jesus is communicating to us. Look at the three verses. Verse 22, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has some... Oh, excuse me, I read the wrong one. Verse 22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell, Gehenna. And go down to verse 29. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell, Gehenna. And one more in this chapter, verse 30. If your right eye makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now this place, Gehenna, it was originally the Valley of Hinnom. It was south of Jerusalem. It was the place in the Old Testament that the Jews burned their children, sacrificing them to Molech and to Baal. It's the place after the exile that the Jews turned into a trash heap, and there also not only threw their trash, but threw dead animals and burned them around the clock 24/7. Therefore, when Jesus uses this term hell, he's using it to denote the punishment of the filthy and corruptible of mankind who do not obey God. No one on the earth wants to live in a trash heap, do they? No one here upon the earth wants to build a house in the middle of a dump with all of the stench, with all of the filth. And that's what Jesus is communicating. For those who do not repent, for those who do not obey God, they're going to live in a trash heap where they got the stink and the stench and the dead bodies being burned all the time, where no one ever wants to go. Jesus says they will go there. They'll live there for eternity. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 16. And here Jesus is talking about Hades here, but it's a place of torment, the Bible says. And so we can learn something about torment here. And you remember these two individuals, the rich man and Lazarus, they lived upon the earth. They both died. They both went to Hades. The rich man went to torment, and Lazarus went to paradise, that is Abraham's bosom. And Luke chapter 16 and now verse 23, we read this. In Hades, the rich man. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So we learn something about torment. And saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. This is a place that the rich man wanted to get out of. He did not want to be there. And this is a place where there is no relief. Not even the least amount. Not even to have one little drop of water. There is no relief whatsoever. Now look at verse 27. Not only did Lazarus not want to be there. He didn't want for anyone else to be there either. Verse 27. And he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead, goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. We must understand that anyone who goes to a place of torment, he will not want to be there. He will want to get out, but he cannot get out. He will not want any of his friends or any of his families to go there. So anyone who says, oh, hell is just going to be fun because I'm going to have all my friends there, we're going to be so busy having a great time, that is a lie. And anyone who would think that because friends or family or anyone else may have by chance gone there, that they just want to go and they want to be with their family, even if it were to be in torment, the family does not want you to be there. Experiencing it, knowing what it's like, they do not want you to be there. The final point this morning, that the second death is for eternity. Matthew chapter 25, we'll look at one passage here and then just a few very quickly in the book of Revelation, and that will be the end of the lesson. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, as Jesus is speaking of the judgment and then either the reward or the punishment that follows thereafter, says, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, some today believe in various religions that heaven is for eternity, but hell is only for a short time. But I want us to understand what Jesus says. They are both for the exact same amount of time, and that is eternity. Being in heaven with God is for eternity, and being punished in hell is for eternity. Turn your Bibles with me over to Revelation chapter 20. For those who were cast into the lake of fire, for those who experienced the second death, there was no way for them to get out of there. There was no way for them to resurrect to a new life. That second death, eternal damnation was forever. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And verse 21, verse 8, we already read of those, the abominable upon the earth, those who did not repent and obey God, that they were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, the second death. There's nowhere within the Bible, within this book, that says that they had a second chance, that they could repent and that they could do right and they could resurrect and go to heaven once again. Chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. In other words, once they were locked out of heaven, they could never enter heaven. There are those who have a chance to avoid the second death. The invitation is given in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and speaking to those who are upon the earth, who are living upon the earth. The bride and the Spirit say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. That is the only chance that we have to avoid the second death. Partake of the waters of life. Obey Jesus Christ while we live here upon the earth. If we depart from this life, disobeying Jesus Christ, there is no possible chance to avoid the second death. You do not have to die twice. Oh yes, you have to die once. It's appointed for man to die, the Bible says, once, and then comes the judgment. But whether or not you die the second time is completely up to you. You can obey God, and your name will be written in the book of life. You'll go to heaven forever rather than being cast into the lake of fire. Are you ready for eternity? Will you enter into heaven or be cast into the lake of fire? And don't you appreciate the verbiage there in the book of Revelation? Of those in verse 21 who were faithful to the Lord, they were allowed to enter into the heavenly city of God. But for those who were not faithful to the Lord, they were cast. They had no choice. And also I think that cast speaks of that none of them want to go, but they are forced to go. The choice is yours. You don't have to die twice. But you need to make preparation in this life before you die if you want to live forever. Are you prepared for eternity? The invitation song that was selected, if you'd like to get your songbooks, songbooks out, Prepare to Meet Thy God. We're going to sing that song as a song of encouragement. If you're not ready to meet God, if you're not ready to die, if you're not ready to face Jesus Christ in judgment, if you're not sure that you'll enter into the eternal city of God because your name is written in the book of life, you can be sure today. What has Jesus asked you to do? Simply to believe that He is who He says He was, the Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and our King, the one whom we must obey. To repent of your sins, that is to change your mind not to do those things that are wrong, but to do those things that are right, and that will be demonstrated in your actions. To confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you'll be added to the church that we must be a member of to avoid the second death. And you'll be promised a home in heaven. Are you ready to meet God? If we can help you at all this morning, why don't you come to the front now as we stand and sing.